How are you doing?
Good. How are y'all?
Good. Tom, you're on, and then who else? Who just said hi?
Jamie, I
hello?
Think.
Who?
Tommy.
Hey, Tommy. Who's kicking us off?
Well, I don't have a lot going on. I got maybe a guy who seems pretty keen as a salesperson. He couldn't
yeah.
meet today. He's gonna meet tomorrow. But you know, it's like you know, you get a little bit of experience and you learn every time. So basically, I'm like, okay, let's not waste each other's time. I need somebody full time, and you're not gonna get paid for at least weeks. Are you still interested? If you're not, we can just quit it wasting each other's time. So that's been. Not quite like that, but you know what I mean. And,
yeah.
And it saved me a lot of time.
Yep.
Saved me a lot of time. So I've gotten a couple people that might be interested. One guy seemed real interested. I sent him a disc test, and he hasn't responded back. He won't answer phone calls, nothing. So he's basically done. I got another woman I did a disc test on, and she's high D and high C, very low I. But she has a lot of experience in doing cold calls, and she was a realtor. So I don't know. So we'll see how keen she is. Anyway, I don't mind giving her a try and giving her a few to say, okay, try. Here's 20. See what you do, and if she's killing it, then fine. But I'm gonna go with what you were saying before. I'm gonna go with this one guy that. Seems really good, and I'll get somebody else as well, and let them scrap for whoever's doing the better job. So,
yep.
So my question is, okay. So I've created a bunch of bits of instructional paperwork and stuff like that on what they should do and the questions they should ask, et cetera.
Okay.
I'm eventually going to make a little, video thing.
Okay.
But my question is, what's the best way to teach them the whole process of what the property's worth and what they should put it as an offer?
Just walk them through and do it. Comps and Freedom Soft. We start there. Then we go to Zillow if we need to. And then that spreadsheet that you have on how to run the numbers. You know, they need to be paying attention up front. Do they think it's a flip or a hold? But if they have that spreadsheet, they can run it as both and see how it comes out. So, yeah, either video on you saying, okay, here's an address, here's what we're going to do to it. I like video the best. But you can do that one-on-one as well.
So is that something that I should start them off with right away?
Start them setting appointments for you. Just get them on the phone, get them dialing, get them talking to sellers, go through the script, ask a few questions about the property, and then schedule the follow-up for you. That's where I think they should start.
Okay.
Now, if somebody has, you may bump into somebody with some real estate background, which is possible if that's the case, and they know a little bit about it, they can go further up front. But if they don't,
well,
just have them set the appointment.
Both of them have some. He was a mortgage. He did mortgage.
He'll learn numbers easy because he's used to running payments, which is more complicated math. Yep.
Right. And then she was a realtor. So
even if out of the gate, first five, just have them set an appointment.
Okay.
Just get them. Just have them get familiar with the script.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
And how do they leave it with the seller? Just like okay.
We'd love to make you a fair offer, Tom. I'm gonna have Mike call you back. He's the owner of our company, however you want to say it. He'll go over some numbers real quick, give you a call back. We'll get that offer on the table. What's a good time?
Okay.
I can have him call you. Are you available later on today, tomorrow? And then just get you the time. You know, some people will say, call me anytime tomorrow after 10 a.m. And some people will say, I need a call tonight at 7:30. Just depends.
Right.
But
how do they communicate? How does the salesperson communicate with me the situation, the level of motivation, the all the details.
Well, if you have fields in FreedomSoft that they're filling out in the notes section, they can park it there.
Okay.
So that's how we do it. They just take all the notes inside FreedomSoft, and then they change the status to spoke to seller, you know, or appointment set.
Right.
And then when the appointment's set, then, you know, you, myself, whoever knows to go in there and look for that status, and then we can go in on the notes. Now, if you read their notes and still have a couple questions, call your salesperson
right.
and say, hey,
call
did you,
them, right.
you know, did you find out this or this? And they either did or they didn't, so you know what you're jumping into on the phone call.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Cool.
Yes, sir. Are you making calls in the meantime while you don't have a salesperson?
I would like to say I have, but I haven't. I've had big time problems with the internet. It's gone down 3 times. Comcast has been to my house 3 times. One thing after another. Then my phone croaked, and I went to the iPhone store. I mean, it's been one thing after another. It's been like, okay, well, let's get it all overdone at the same time. Then, you know.
Yeah.
But the thing
moving forward is, I get it, stuff happens. If somebody's got to be on the phone, obviously, you know, in your situation, you want that to be a salesperson.
Right.
But, you know, as owner, we're going to wear different hats from time to time, keep things moving. So just keep that in mind.
Well,
right?
I need to get on the phone. I really need to get on the phone just so I feel comfortable.
Yeah, you'll
it.
Train better. Plus, you'll get deals under contract. So
right.
Yep. Right. You're going to go through seasons where you're going to wear different hats. That's called being owner of the company.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So, all right. Who else?
Thanks, man.
Yeah. Who else is with us?
Hal.
Hal, how are you?
I'm not sure.
we'll find out here in a minute.
Yeah, I haven't closed my deal. It's a weird deal. I mean, I've run across them before. Yeah, the title. What happened was, the guy bought it 11 years ago. The guy that was selling it to a wholesaler who was in turn, you know, double closing to my guy. And everything went through except that the seller never signed the deed. He's still on it. And so the company that closed it, which is a law firm, they're out of business. At first we couldn't. We found they were out of business. Finally, found a firm that took over some of their paperwork. Friday, we found out that we did find the deed, that it was unsigned. It was in the paperwork, in the closing paperwork. So the title company, or the closing attorney, screwed it up by not having him sign it.
Right.
And fortunately, then we couldn't find the guy. We had his name, couldn't find him at all. Then Friday, we got the paperwork on it, we got the driver's license of the guy. So she's working on that today.
Tracking him down?
And trying to track him down. If she don't get it done by tomorrow, I'm going to take it over myself because I've got a guy that can find anybody with a driver's license.
Yeah, so you're
telling me. Yeah.
After our conversation last week, what are you doing about title? Is your original title company, are they stepping up or did you switch?
Well, you know, the thing down here, I'm finding out the title company runs the title, and they don't do much other than that. They just tell you what's wrong with it, and it's up to the law firm to fix it.
It's up to the attorney, right?
Yeah, and so I have a really good title attorney,
okay.
But I don't like using him very often, but I talked to him over the weekend. There's actually two other ways we could close it if we have to. If we can't find the guy, period, then, you know, it's on the title company. We got the title policy because the guy lost all his paperwork. So it had title. He bought title insurance. So it goes to the title insurance company to fix it. But the problem with that is that takes time.
They're out of business.
No, they're in business yet.
Oh, they are?
But they take, you know, they can take 2 weeks to a month. We just got one back where they screwed up a closing 6 months ago and forgot the taxes on the city. And they took it out of our proceeds, and it took us 2 weeks to get it back.
Right.
And then the third way you can do it, if you can't find him, nothing else works, you can go before a judge and have the thing, the deed, annulled. They don't call it that, but that is a way to do it. So
last resort, obviously.
Yeah, I want to get it closed. I got to get it closed. What's sad is we had that sucker. We could have closed within 2 weeks after I bought the thing or after we found the guy.
Right.
And so now it's dragging out a little. I'm trying to get it done this week. We'll see. That's why you haven't heard from me on the other.
Gotcha.
But I got a couple of quick
no
questions.
No date, no closing date yet, right?
Still. Well, we're set. Thursday is our, you know, I've extended it twice.
Yeah.
It's extended to Thursday, and we're shooting for this week. But
are the seller and buyer still on board with all this?
Yeah, well, the seller, I call him daily, and he's okay. I mean, what else is he going to do? He doesn't know how to close it.
Yeah, I'm just making sure. Sometimes people get frustrated anyway. So.
Well, they do. Yeah, they do. I understand that. If the buyer falls through, I got two or three other people that probably buy.
Okay.
It.
Okay.
But it takes me a few more days, you know.
Right.
But so far everybody's on board. It's a good property.
Okay.
Just got to get it done. I tried to hire another salesperson, or I did hire. I wanted to hire a guy part-time, and I went on. I got his leads ready and everything for him to go. He can only work evenings, which is okay with me. The problem is the software did this to me once before, and I don't remember. I didn't have time today, or I didn't take the time to email you to ask you to fix it, but it won't let me add somebody. It wants another $30 a month. It did that once to me before.
Huh.
And you guys fix it. And because I had to I had to get rid of somebody.
Right.
Because I've got, you know, I got different people vetting it, and they're all on a campaign. And then
right.
I got a couple of salespeople. So do
I
need to email
you tonight?
I'll
take a look at it tomorrow morning for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because this guy's ready to go.
I'll log in.
This guy's out of Virginia.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. This guy's he's good. So other than that, my gal, I've been kind of – I don't know if my first gal is going to work out. I told her today I didn't want to hear anything negative. But she needs money, and that's – you know, I was honest with her up front, and I hear other people. And I'm getting better at this. I am getting better at –
That's the thing. But just like what Tom was saying, if you haven't done it, or if you haven't done it in a while, you got to go through a couple of conversations. So don't get frustrated. You'll get better at it. But, you know, here's the thing about salespeople. This is for everybody. We're not, and we've talked about this before, but I want to remind you again. Put on your type D hat when you talk to these people, because there's a good chance that they are. Anybody who's been in sales for any length of time, they probably are a personality fit. Not always, but a lot of times they are. So you can, like Tom was saying, he gets somebody on the phone now, and he just cuts to the chase. He goes, here's the thing. Let's not waste any time. You don't need to chit-chat, really. If you want to a little bit, that's fine. But just narrow it down. Get to the point. Are you interested or not? It's a yes or no. And if yes, you know, continue the conversation. If somebody right up front just says, hey, that's not going to work, you know, I got to have a paycheck in 2 weeks, then no point in going any farther. And it's not good or bad, right or wrong. It just is what it is. So move on. So yeah, you get through, you know, it's just like sales calls, talking to sellers. The first one's pretty tough. By the time you get to five, you're thinking, hey, this isn't bad. When you've done 10 or 20, you know, it's just becomes piece of cake, second nature. So it's no different hiring a salesperson or a bird dog, whatever. The more time you do it. So even if you feel like you're stuck and I can't find somebody, you're still winning. Just keep having conversations, right? You're getting better at it. So, and it's the magic piece. It really is, just to put somebody on the phone consistently, and you see what happens when phone calls are going out. All of you are in the middle of deals. When phone calls aren't, no deals. So it's the magic, and it's not magic really. It's just, you know how to generate good leads. You pair that with somebody, you or somebody else, on the phone consistently, and you'll start to get the result you're looking for.
Yeah, that's basically the gal the first gal I hired. And I got another guy working already, and I want a third person because, you know, it's so easy. Just like for me, hey, I got these houses. I haven't got time to do this. I have to start making the time to do. Somebody has to be on those friggin' phones. That's all there is to it.
Yep, have to.
And my gal today, she's been griping. Well, you know, your leads aren't any good. Well, you know what? It's a numbers game. Just keep calling them. You found that first one the second day. You know,
right.
It was a good one.
Right.
And so then she called me later today and said, well, I got this other one. The gal looks like she wants to sell her house. I said, okay, you know, that's
the
whole deal.
From these terrible leads.
Yeah, just quit griping and just make the calls because she's not making them. The one thing I wish we could do a little different to where I know I looked at putting the phone number on there so you could track them.
Yep.
I don't understand that yet, so I got to figure that out. But I may go to that because you can tell these people, they get busy, or especially if you hire a salesperson and they've been doing something else, they might spend a few hours doing something else, and then they don't get my leads done. And I don't care about their other stuff.
Your salespeople, for all of you, it doesn't, regardless of what they're calling, what number they're using, if they're using a FreedomSoft number internal, dialing through their computer, the system will track all that. But if they're not, at the end of every shift they work, they have to be texting you, how many calls did they make? How many people did they talk to? Anybody interested? Right? Where did the conversation go? A summary of what happened. You can do that with your VAs too. Hey, when you log in and skip trace, keep track of this real quick, and when you're done, shoot me a little email. It'll take them 30 to 60 seconds to type it out. You know, I researched 35 leads. I found numbers for, you know, 28 of them. Updated status, that kind of thing, just so you know what's going on. But with your salespeople, either use FreedomSoft number, and it'll tell you how many phone calls they're making, or I need a text message after whether you're on the phone for 20 minutes or 6 hours. Shoot me a text. Let me know how many numbers you called. So we get that text after every shift, just so we have an idea.
Well,
you don't have to look far. If you're not in the middle of any deals, that'll tell you.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, nothing's being done, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right. Because we got the leads, and the VAs, it's no problem because I have them color code them. When they're done, I have them code them green. And then I pull them out.
Here's what will happen if you don't ask. There's no pressure on them at the end of the day to say, oh, I have to report in. So you want that little bit of pressure because that's what it'll create to say, you know, Hal knows I'm on the phone and I've got to shoot him a text when I'm done. And what am I going to send? I've made 4 calls. So,
yeah.
And somebody will either be okay with it or it'll force them out. And if that's the case, it'll make the decision for you, which is a good thing. If they don't want them, if they don't want to do the work, then you don't, you know, you don't need them.
No. Nope. Or you want them. Yep. You don't want them either. Yep.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all I got.
They'll wean themselves out and you won't have to have a conversation about letting them go. So everybody wins.
Yep.
So, yep. All right, Al. Yeah. Hopefully this, you know, this happens from time to time, not too often. I mean, you've come out of the gate here right into a good one with title. Obviously, this thing has had some snags. Most of the time, you know, they'll go off without much of a hitch. And what's interesting here is the title company even closed it. And this is just human error. It doesn't happen a lot, but this is human error where the attorney that closed it just missed the document. And they missed the deed of all documents. I mean, nice one to miss.
Yeah, well, it's like my taxes. We bought this house in January. We sold it. I wholesaled it here about a month ago. We get to the closing table and they say, "Oh, we deduct $1,500 from you guys because the city taxes weren't paid for 3 years." Oh, wait a minute. We bought the thing in January. The title company closed on it. We went back to the title company and they tried to say, "Well, you know, we're going to have to investigate it and take a couple of weeks." No. And you know,
that
what's your policy? It is. Well, we got a check in the mail.
Yeah,
but,
absolutely.
You know,
that's why it's called title insurance. Right?
Yeah, that's right. That's why you buy it.
That's right.
That's right.
But even with that in place, right, anytime people are involved, things can get goofed up. So this is what you're coming across. This has been a little bit of a marathon here, but, you know, it sounds like at least your buyer and seller are still on board, which is good. Nobody's gotten too frustrated here, which is a good thing. So hopefully it gets wrapped up this week.
Yeah, I hope it does too.
Cool. Good. Who else?
Mike.
Yes.
It's Tommy.
Hey, Tommy. How are you?
good. I'm driving, so if it gets too static or too crazy, just let me know.
Okay.
No
worries. Hopefully I'll stay on. Yeah, what's the update?
Hopefully. Last week was brutal for us, not with business, just life in general. So I was on both calls about halfway through and then get to finish them, but I've listened to a full one now. The house, the second house we had, I did not actually get a hold of that lady until 3 days ago.
Okay.
So I have it set up for her. I have a contract now. My bird dog's going tomorrow to take photos of the inside of the house.
Yep.
I have
a
few potential buyers. I've got to touch base with them. Sales people, holy stars, that has been a nightmare. we had one guy that was super motivated, driven.
Yep.
He had like 7 kids, but making a flat fee, and he was just kept bringing the game to us. And then my husband met with him. They went over a ton of stuff, and then the next day he disappeared. I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. So then we now have recently hired 2 more new ones, and they both seem very driven. One of them is afraid that his, where he works now, is getting ready to close. So he's, and I kind of like the first guy said, sorry, I don't remember who it was, but you change your way, you interview, you learn, and you just, you lay it out there. And I really had to because I'm tired of, you know, picking and choosing. I think in the beginning we were really motivated on our end to just get it going. And then I think as you learn, you know, the ups and downs of it all, you get hardcore. And you say that, I don't think you're fit for this, because you get tired of going through all this stuff. And so that's really where we are. I trained the one guy this morning, so he's already on the call this evening, or calling this evening. He's already messaged me, so that was exciting.
Nice.
And then the other guy I'm meeting with in the morning. So that's kind of our up-to-date. We don't have any new deals in the funnel yet. I'm hoping after this week that we can call in and say, I've got about 4 more. I'm hoping.
Yep. That's what will happen. And I like where you're going, because 3 of you now have said, you just get on the phone, you do it, and you start to get better, and that's it. You will get more efficient at hiring. It's not that you don't care. You just weed through all the stuff, get to the point. Somebody wants to play ball or they don't, and both answers are okay. If yes, great. Let's do a quick little training. Here's our script, and let's get you on the phone. And if you don't, then great. So be it. And find the next one. So you're going to go through seasons like this. Life has seasons. Business has seasons. So you're going to go on a run where you're going to feel like all the personnel in your company is turning over, and you're going to think, what the heck's happening? And then you'll also go on runs. You'll go through seasons where people just sit tight and they just stay put. And I want to add something in. So I was at a real estate event with FreedomSoft over the weekend. And they brought in Barbara Corcoran, the Shark, and she did the keynote on Friday night, I think it was. Yeah, Friday night. And so I ducked into the room and listened to her, and I thought this is pretty cool. She talked quite a bit about culture, and she built a real estate company, if you don't know her story. She's one of the sharks on Shark Tank now, but real estate's her background. So she got her broker's license and built a real estate firm in New York City. And she said, this blew me away, she said that she spent, looking back, she spent a third of her time on corporate culture. Now, her company grew to a lot of people, right, like a couple thousand at one point in time. She sold the company for $66 million. So she built it big, a big brokerage firm. But she said a third, looking back, she spent a third of her time on corporate culture and making it fun. And she said, other than the people I fired, nobody left. And I thought, a third of her time, holy smokes. You look at a CEO, or if somebody was saying, hey, come in and be the CEO of our company, I wouldn't assume that I'd spend a third of the time on culture. I mean, maybe 5% of the time. But she said they just did whatever, massages on Thursdays, parties, get-togethers, picnics, whatever. Dress like this today, dress, like 1940s, do whatever. She just spent time trying to make work fun. And obviously they got a lot done. I mean, she sold the company for a ton. But I thought, this is really relevant. I wanted to bring it back to everybody because you, whether you're you have a salesperson that's remote or whatever the case, you know, we've been talking about when you get that person on board that's good, what can you do? You know, dinner gift cards, you know, if they're really killing it, you've got to do what it takes to keep those people around because they're the rainmakers. Top salespeople are the rainmakers. So don't get frustrated if you're going to go through a few. That's just normal, right? But when you find somebody, be ready to, you know, make sure they're paid. Make sure they're paid on time when deals close, that kind of thing. And then, you know, get creative and fun with some little spiffs that you can throw towards the sales side of things. So I thought it was pretty interesting.
I really like that you added that in. No, absolutely. I will. I have one more thing I want to share with you, and then I'll step off. So, and this kind of tied in just a little bit with what you were just talking about. I had a bird dog. I actually had three of them that were just consistent in both Tulsa and Oklahoma City, and I hated to lose them. So two of them I did. I sent gift cards, and I said, just hang tight with me. And then this other one, she just kept messaging me. And then when I put out the sales ad, she actually answered the sales ad. And I don't think she knew right away who it was. So the first time, I didn't respond because I thought she's a bird dog. I don't know that she's really qualified. Well,
yeah.
Then I posted, it came through again, and she responded again. So I just messaged her, and I said, hey, can you get on the phone with me? And so by the time I got on the phone with her, I said, do you know why I'm calling? And she's like, well, I did my research. And she said, it's your company, isn't it? And I said, it is. And so her and I talked a little bit, and then I put my husband on the phone with her, and he wasn't going to go for it, but here's what I did, because she still, even though this has probably been 2 weeks later, she still comes to me, and she's like, Tommy, I'm still interested. Can you just give me a chance? So I gave her a script, and I told her, I said, here's what we're going to do. I said, I want you to get the app for sale by owners, and I said, I just want you to start calling these people and just get comfortable talking to people. And if you get a deal, great, we'll move forward with it. And I said, once you're comfortable, come back to me. We'll go through the role play and put you on the phone. But I hated to turn her away, you know, if she's that motivated to keep coming back to me after I've kind of opened those spots. So I just kind of wanted to open that door for her. But anyway.
I love it. Somebody that's beating your door down saying, just give me a shot. It's a great way to come
right.
in. Just give me a chance. Right?
Yep.
Yeah,
absolutely. I wasn't about to do it because you never know. She could turn around even though she knew nothing about it, you know, and blow us away. And
here's the thing about FreedomSoft. Create a little campaign, bring her in, throw 25 leads in it. I mean, what's going to happen with 25 leads? If she calls them
right.
all and goes nowhere, transfer them back
right.
to another salesperson, and they'll follow up with them, and they'll make it go somewhere. So you're not losing anything. So, yeah, I kind of like that. So I was when Rob is talking to salespeople. Now this one takes some guts because, and I think I've talked about it in here before, but he does it every time when he has a salesperson on and he wants to test the personality. They'll be telling him about their background, and I did this, and I was top salesperson here, and I was top this and that. And Rob will go, right, again, he's type D, so this is a little easier for him than some of us, but he will say, he'll interrupt the conversation, and he'll say, Tommy, I got to be honest with you. I'm looking for a rock star salesperson, and I hear you talking, and I'm getting the feeling that you're kind of like a B+, B-. And then he'll shut up. And here's what happens, right? I mean, you can feel the tension from what I just said on this call, and it's not even live. He basically is telling the person, "I need a rock star," and that's not the impression I'm getting. And then he'll be quiet. And a type D, highly motivated, like so. Rob's business partner Brad, on the real estate side, he's high D as well. And he and Rob are having a conversation, and he goes, Brad, I got to be honest with you. I'm getting like B-, maybe B+, tops on the sales side. And Brad kind of, he got fired up, and he goes, have you even been paying attention to the conversation for the last 45 minutes? I mean, he fired back at him. And so internally, Rob's, you know, kind of smiling and saying, good reply. That's what I'm looking for.
Right.
So if you want to, you know, we're talking about getting better on the phone with salespeople and that kind of thing. If you want to take it kind of next level and see what they're made of, say that comment. You know, basically tell them, I think you're B plus tops. And, you know, tell them I need a rock star. You know, if it's super uncomfortable, don't do it yet, but maybe try it and see what happens. And a high D, aggressive salesperson will their body language will change, even if they're on the phone. They'll come back at you a little bit. So that's like some next level hiring stuff. Because that one, right? You're gonna make it you're probably having a good conversation, and you're gonna make it uncomfortable on purpose and see what they do.
So. No, I love it. And in the beginning, I would told myself, I don't know that I could do that. But once you've gone through so many and the frustration sets in, you get to that point where you're like, okay, pardon me, but screw it. This is what's going to happen. So,
yeah.
That's awesome. All right.
Yeah.
That's all I have. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, good update.
Right.
Stay with it. Who else? Somebody has a question.
Hey, Mike, it's Mike.
Hey, which Mike?
Mike Vilsich.
Hey, we have a couple in the group now, so
what's going
on?
So I'm not sure if I've got it set up right, but I've got a bird dog to try to send a couple things over. And I thought I had FreedomSoft set up right, but it shows that there's a new lead, but it doesn't load any of the information in.
Is the bird dog using HomeSnap or no?
What's that?
The bird dog using HomeSnap or no?
Yes.
Okay. Don't turn off HomeSnap. And honestly, I should probably just pull it out of the coaching center. Here's the thing: if somebody's on an iPhone and they know how to use it, it works great. The photo comes in, but I don't know how to troubleshoot if they're on an Android. So Mike, do this: tell them to keep HomeSnap. And here's where they're going to use it. If they come up to a vacant house and it's missing some of the house numbers, they can pull HomeSnap up and it'll help them figure out the address. Other than that, have them take a photo of the house, email that picture into your unique email address, because that'll bring it into the campaign, and type the address in the subject line and hit send, and just bypass HomeSnap and use it to identify addresses. Just go that route.
Okay, so maybe I'm mistaken. I was supposed to, when it sent it over in the columns we had set up, that it would send it into, like, the address would be loaded, or we need to
The address is going to go. The address will go in the notes section. It'll say subject, and then it'll show the subject from the email in the notes box.
Okay.
And the picture will be parked in the photos section. And so what your VA needs to do is grab that address from notes and then save it up to the top of the lead record where it belongs, and then they can click find the owner. The owner's info will pop up, and then they can do the skip trace.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, okay. So I was mistaken. I thought it was going to automatically put the address in the column for us or something.
It doesn't.
Okay. All right.
Nope. There's no way to parse. Well, I shouldn't say there's no way, but that's just a big tech issue, and we'd have to make some big assumptions on where people want data. So the VA, you know, they just grab the address, like I said, from the notes, copy it up to the very top of your page where it says click to edit address, because that's the property address. Yep.
Uh-huh.
And then once that's saved, click find the owner of record, and the mailing address will show up, and then skip trace off the owner of record and the mailing address, not the property address.
Okay. Okay.
Does that all make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then, because I'm just struggling getting bird dogs to go out and do anything. I mean, I just...
I'm telling you, it can be a challenge, but stay with it. Stay with it. And I know it's frustrating, but post the ad again. Post it, you know, put it in gigs, put it in sales, put it in real estate. Be relentless about it, because it only takes one. And we've seen this time and time again where people say, I've gone through 15, 20 bird dogs, and we say, you only need one. And then they'll get that one person on board, and they'll have 300 leads in 72 hours. So just stay with it.
Okay.
I get it. People flake, especially in this position for whatever reason, but This is another one, just like when you're hiring a salesperson, when you get a bird dog on the phone, and here's what I was thinking I should do is I need to just record a bird dog call and upload it so you can hear how they get on the phone, and I just go right to the point. This is what we're looking for. This is what the job entails. This is how much we pay. Are you interested, yes or no? And if yes, when can you start driving? And I'll send you an email with the first three zip codes I want you to focus on. I mean, it's just we don't have time to spend 30 minutes on the phone for somebody. Either they're going to go drive or they're not. And
well,
not
and
everybody
I, and
will.
So the interviews I've been doing have been pretty much like what you said.
Cool.
You know, I mean, my whole conversation is maybe 10 minutes on the phone.
Good, good. Yep.
But then, you know, they sound excited. And I mean, I got one guy today. I mean, he sent me three messages before I called him. I just wanted to see if someone was really serious.
Yep.
And
nice.
And so hopefully, you know, I got him getting things set up right now. So we'll see how it works.
Do whatever you can, you know, unless it's 8 o'clock at night. Do whatever you can to say, listen, I want to show you that I'm for real. Can you go get me 10 vacant houses? Here's the thing, you guys. Even if they pull – I had a guy the other day pull houses that I really have zero interest in. They're destroyed. Doesn't matter. He went out. He did it. Get him paid.
Yeah.
So if there's sunlight left, say, I want to prove to you that I'm serious and that you're going to get paid. Can you give me 30 minutes today and go find 10 deals, text them in, and I, you know, what's your PayPal email, and I'll send over the money today.
Yeah.
So if that's possible.
He told me to put the bonus out there, and I even did that. I still didn't get anyone doing much. But
that's all right. Yeah, keep plugging away, because when you get one or two that are good, these are the best leads, best vacant leads you can generate or produce.
Sounds good.
And again, the goal is 250. So, whatever it takes. We know if you get to 250, and skip trace them and get on the phone, you've got a couple deals in there.
Okay.
Right. Obviously, you're going to go way beyond 250 leads, right? But that's the goal in step three: is how quick can we get to 250?
Okay.
So stay with it.
Will do.
Good stuff. It pays off. Any other questions, Mike?
No, that's it for now.
Okay. Who else?
Hey, Mike, this is Mike as well.
Yep, and that voice, you've been with us a little longer, so I know. What's going on?
Yep. I had a question. So I haven't really looked at the Cash Buyers and Freedom Soft yet, and when I click on it, I can't see how to get them on the map. I mean, I know you can export it and then put it on in Google Maps or something, but when I just click the map view.
Yep, click map view, and then click on one of the cash buyer names and all the properties. Like, say they bought 24. All 24 will show up on the map.
Okay, I just clicked on one. Yeah, it doesn't show up on there.
You're on the map view?
Yeah, I'm on map view, and it shows the whole United States, and then I zoom in to, like, Atlanta, and because I thought, well, maybe it's just too far out.
So you see the map, and then over on the right-hand side of the screen, you see a list that you can scroll through with the cash buyers, right?
Yep.
What's one of the cash buyer names?
The first one is just TAH 2017 One Borrower LLC 82 properties.
Yeah, so click on that, the TAH or whatever it was.
Yep, I clicked in the little box right next to it, and it doesn't do anything in the map part.
Send me screenshot that, because I just I was just showing. I told you I was at an event this weekend for FreedomSoft, and I was showing it to people. So, and I used it all weekend without any issue. So that's peculiar to me.
Okay. Yeah. I'll,
I was just demoing that yesterday, showing somebody how to do it. So, anyway.
Okay. I'll send this to you right now.
Cool. What else? What else is happening?
Oh, not much. So I called a couple of those people today just to get a little bit more information. And, actually, I got voicemails from most of them, so I just left voicemails. But two people I actually talked to, and the one lady is really busy. She said she'd call me back. She hasn't yet. But this other guy, he basically is like, well, you guys called me, so I was trying to get a price out of him, but he's like, well, give me an offer. So
yep.
I said, okay, well, let me dig into it a little bit more. But the house, he already renovated at one time. He's had renters in there, and then they moved out, did a little bit of damage or whatever, so he decided to do some more renovations when the last renters moved out, which was like a year ago. And then somebody in the meantime broke in and stole all the wiring, all the copper out of the walls and everything. So he just is fed up. So he's just like, I just boarded it up and left it. And he goes, I just decided to wait until the market gets a lot better, and then I'll do something with it.
Cool. Throw a number on the table.
You know.
What is it?
That's what I'm going to do.
Do you know what it rents for?
I think he said 1,000.
Nice. Let's run numbers right now.
Okay. Let me pull it up here.
So if you have those spreadsheets, you can do it, because that one of the sections on there, I can't remember if it's the top or the second one, where the owner says, make me an offer. They don't talk first. So that's what that section of that spreadsheet is for. But here we go.
Okay.
We know the anchor. If we know after repaired value or we know rents, we can run numbers on anything, anytime, anywhere in 20 seconds. So I won't put you on the spot and ask you how to do it. I'm just going to tell everybody. So $1,000, that's gross monthly rent. We have to get to net, right? So times 70%, right? Obviously $700, easy math here on $1,000. Then take that times 12. Let's go first 12 months for the first year, $8,400, $8,400, 700 times 12, right? And then what's a good cap rate? What's a good first-year rate of return? 8%, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20?
10.
I don't know why I went all –
yeah.
It seems like people go even numbers on rates of return for some reason. 9, 11, 13, what do you like? 10, 12?
I think 10 is pretty decent. 12 is better, obviously.
Okay, so 8,400 divided by 0.1 or 10%. $84,000 all in. All in price. So, how much work do you think it needs, Mike? How big is it?
It's 1,100 square feet, 3-bed, 1-bath.
Okay, so I'd normally go, it's been renovated. He said a little bit of damage, but missing the copper, right? So, if it was just a beat-up house, 1,100 square feet, in pretty bad shape, I'd think $25,000 fix-up. Now, it's been renovated before. It's had some work done to it. In my mind, that makes me go a little bit less, but you have to redo all the electrical. So I would stick to that 25. I may even go 30 to be a little bit conservative, just because. So if I'm your end buyer and I want a 10% return rate, and I can pay $84,000 to this thing, but it needs 30 in work, so minus 30,000, right? Again, easy math, 54,000. That's potentially what I could pay for it. And then you would say, you know, what do you want to make on this one? 10, your offer's at 44. What I would do, I would be a little more aggressive than 10%. Now, if you have buyers in that market that'll say, yes, I'll fix a property up, and if I can make 10% on this thing, I'm your buyer, I'd run it at 10. If I didn't have specific intel on that, I'd go closer to 14 and be a little conservative, because if anything, if I buy it at a 14 cap, the 12s, 10s, and 8s are all going to be in, because it's better than what they think, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's better than what they expect. So let's do that math. So it was 700 times 12, 8,400, divided by 0.14. So now I can be all in at 60,000. Right? That's a way different number.
Mm-hmm.
Still needs 30 in work. So that's 30,000 buy price. Right? And then you've got to, you know, you've got to make your spread lower than that if somebody could pay 30. So really quick, that's, you know, you can run those, and this is the stuff that spreadsheet will do it. But this is what you have to be able to do on the fly, is just get a really quick ballpark. And you can do that on your phone, on the calculator, while you're saying uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh to the seller on the other end, and you can get a really quick ballpark. And you can come out of the gate with this thing and say, you know, you need to be around 25, 20 to 25. And then, you know, that's if he barks at that at all, he did some work. You know, what you could even do too is go back and ask, you know, all the coppers out. You know, you've done some work. If you were to put it all back in, what do you think it'd cost you? Something like that. But that gives you an idea. 60,000 is a pretty solid all in number on that property. 84, we're down at about a 10% first year rate of return at $1,000 a month.
Okay. Yeah, that's easy math. It looked like he had a listed a year ago for 30, and the Zestimate is 23, and the Redfin estimate is like 26.
Yep. So this is also where you go, and Mike, I know I replied to your email, but this is where you go to that data, that map that Rob buys, right? And we've talked about it quite a bit. He'll spend $500 to $600 when he launches a market, buy the absentee owner list from List Source, map it. And then now you could go to this address, find it on the map, and look up the other properties in the area and see what they're selling for. This one's a little unique, right? It has had work done to it in the past, but they gutted all the copper. And that's, you know, so you can count on it's at least a major plumbing fix. There's likely a lot of drywall that needs to be repaired as well because, you know, clearly thieves don't go in and do nice work and cut things out. They just smash and grab.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Cool.
That gives you an idea. And that's pretty good intel that he had it listed for 30 and nobody took it. Got frustrated, boarded it up, and shut it down. So I wouldn't think he's expecting 30. I could be wrong there, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. I mean, another lady had said she had like 5 houses, but she's like just saying, oh, I know the market's really hot, so. You know, I want to do some more due diligence and do some comps and, you know, see what I can sell them for.
Right.
So.
Yeah, you know, hot is, they come back like that and, you know, say, hey, yeah, absolutely. You can hire a real estate agent and he'll come in and tell you what needs to be fixed up and the house needs to show well and then you can pay 6%. On the back end in this hot market.
Exactly.
Yep. So yeah, don't be afraid to push back on some of that stuff. I mean, hot doesn't mean that they can get a ton of money for it. That might be their perception, but you know, tell them what you do. I'll come in, buy that thing as is, you know, do you have a general contractor that you've used in the past? How much work do you think it needs? You know, tell me some of the things that are going on with it. And then if you know a little bit about construction, say, I'm no GC, but I've been around real estate for a while. You know, you're looking at 15 to 20 grand to fix that thing up. Ideally, is that something you're prepared to do and manage that, you know, GC on the project? Is that something you've done before? You know, kind of create the pain if they don't think it's there. So, and that's what, you know, over time, you want your salesperson doing a lot of that. But then you can, in the follow-up call, you can absolutely do that. So, because they're not, you know, somebody says, oh, it's a hot market. They're not going to do anything with it. They haven't done anything with it yet.
Well,
so, you know,
they listed it in May of 2016 for 30 grand, and then they removed the listing in October of 16. And
you got to be all over that question. How long has the market been hot for? Yeah, interesting. Looks like you had the property listed from this date to this date, and it didn't sell. So if the market's hot, why wasn't this problem, you know, why didn't this property sell? What's going on with it? Get to the root of the heart of the matter, yeah.
He also says he gets a couple calls a week on it.
What's that?
He also says he gets a couple calls a week on that house from just people driving by or whatever.
Yeah, could be. Hard to say.
Yeah.
Hard to say. That's you know, that's kind of the sales game that you get into. This is why you want a D personality on the phone. If you're not wired like that and you're not, you know, wired for sales and phone sales, they want the issues or the fact that people make those comments. It just, you know, that means that they're engaged. They didn't just hang up on you. So there's some level of interest there. But anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you had, obviously wasn't on the call last Thursday, but I know when I talked to you last week, Monday, a week ago, you had like somewhere between 3 and 7 interested. These are the follow-up conversations, obviously, you're talking about here.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to. I was going to work on them Friday and through the weekend, but because of some stuff at work, I wasn't able to. So really today, I just sat down and started calling these people back.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, stay with it. It's good stuff. Is your sales guy still on the phone every day?
He was. He was up until he left for the weekend to go to Texas to visit his daughter.
Okay.
But yeah, he's done. I think he's gone through about 100 now. Looks like.
How many?
I think 100 because
okay.
He's gone through like page 5. So however many there are per. Let's see, 1, 2, 3.
And how many appointments has he set?
He's not really setting appointments. He just gets their interest and puts the notes in there, and then
okay.
he color codes it green, and then I just call him back.
Okay. See if he can take that one step farther and set up. This is almost like a two-part scenario, right? He probably wants to call you Mr. Page, maybe. Like create a little bit of respect in that comment. So I want to, right, let's get an appointment set up. I'll have Mr. Page give you a call back. He's a busy guy. Can you give me a couple times that would work with your schedule, and then I'll have him confirm one of them, right? And now it's them trying to get on your schedule, and you go into that call with some posture.
Okay.
So that's a great way to set that up. If he's just leaving it nonchalant and, yeah, they're pretty interested, and, yeah, we might get back to you, that's not as good as let's get Mr. Page, the owner of our company, on the phone. He'll get a fair offer your way. He's a busy guy. You know, what are a couple times that work with your schedule, and I'll see if we can match one up with his. Now there's a little bit of, I got to respect this guy's time. And it sets up the posture that you want going into that phone call. So, and then this is some of the stuff. So you just got to be ready. Somebody, two people are calling me a week on that thing. So why haven't you sold the house yet?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't have cash? Or are you just, you're not willing to take a reasonable price for the place, which is it? And now you're not being combative, but you're just hitting them with real questions, right? This market's incredibly hot. Yeah, that's interesting because a lot of people, it's interesting that you say that because it looks like you had the property listed a while back and nobody bought it. So if the market's hot, what I've found in the past is if you've got a house that's sitting there in a hot market, that means there's usually something major going on with it. What's the, what's the major issue with this place that nobody wants it? So, it's not, like I said, you're not being feisty or rude or anything, but they're playing the don't waste your time game, right? You're not on there for a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are just going to jaw and yak, and that just is what it is. But, yeah, when they start throwing stuff like that, you've just got to be ready to, to kind of push back a little bit. If it's so hot, then why? Some people will just be, the conversation will be simple. They'll be like, I can't believe you called. This thing is such an issue. Give me $7,000 for it, and I'll, help get this thing out of my life. But other conversations are going to go different. So just be ready for whatever. And that's where, a salesperson, when you hire somebody with experience, they've gone through a lot of these conversations, and it just rolls off the tongue for them. But this is where when you actually get on the phone, this is great practice and experience. So anyway, good stuff. Keep that gentleman on the phone, and then have him set up appointments for you, make it more official. Mr. Page is going to call with a fair offer. You know, he'll call you at this time, make sure you're not on the other line or whatever to take his call. They can kind of set you up a little bit like that. That should be more effective.
Okay. Yeah, I never even thought of that. I just was having him go through them, you know, whenever he got time.
Yep. Yeah, this has got to be all about business. And so that just, yeah, some of those little things like that will just help, you know, help conversion rates and help you have better conversations right out of the gate. And this guy who made you an offer, you know, get your offer on the table. You could also ask if he has photos. All the coppers out probably doesn't. But that's a major one. That's where you can go into list source as well. When you have that data and say, you know, the market's paying about 20. This place is missing all the copper. And you can go in and that's how you make your offer. They had just looked up every investor transaction in the area, pulled it from online, and 1,100 square foot houses in the neighborhood are selling for 20 grand. You know, yours has got a considerable issue where all the copper's missing. So I can take it off your hands for 15.
Yeah.
Does that number work for you? Something like that.
I'm guessing you can't sell it to a retail buyer because the loan would never close. So
no, absolutely not. Yeah, a house without plumbing.
Yeah.
Yep, not going to happen. Oh, and it doesn't even sound like he's trying to sell it, right? It's boarded up. Is it listed anywhere?
It's not. He just said he decided because he was frustrated with the vandalism and stuff. So he's like, I just decided to board it up and just wait until the market's just so hot, I guess, that somebody will come in and offer him 50. I don't know what he thinks he's going to get out of it. He couldn't sell it at 30, so a year ago.
You know, yeah, make your offer and move on. They'll accept it or they won't. If they don't take it, you know, say, hey, do you mind if I follow up with you here in about 45 days, see if you change your mind? And if they say yes, and if you don't have their email, say, great, what's the best email I can, you know, I won't call you. I'll shoot you an email or a text. What's the best way to reach you? Well, yeah, the longer it sits there, if they won't take your offer price now, it starts to look better and better.
Yeah, true.
Yep.
I'll give it a try. I didn't get his email, and I didn't see if he had a cell phone, if that's what I was calling. I'm not even sure if it was a cell phone or not, but.
Anytime you're going to follow up with somebody, obviously, make sure, ideally, cell phone and email, so you can text and email. Then you can just automate it. I mean, you can just shoot them a text here in 45 days and, you know, say, hey, we spoke a month ago. Interested in my offer?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, good stuff. Stay on it. Let's get one of the closing table.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I could even probably just buy it myself too. It just seems like that would be easier.
Can be. I mean, yeah. Then you can, if you own it, you can advertise property for sale. There are wholesalers that do that. Some wholesalers in these quote unquote hot markets, they'll go direct to the seller, tie it up, and then throw that sucker in the MLS. And you
That's
can either, you know, pay an agent to list it, but they have, you know, in just about any city USA, you can pay somewhere between $500 and $1,000 and somebody can put it in the MLS for you, just a flat rate.
Yeah,
so,
that's a good idea. My sales guy was reading something, too, the other day that said that they're trying to do, like, a renovation-type thing around, because a lot of these houses are right by that new Mercedes-Benz stadium for the Falcons.
Okay.
So he said they're going to devote some money for fix-up, like, in a lot of the surrounding areas to try to renovate that area, to revitalize that area.
If they just brought in an NFL stadium, I mean, we saw what the stadiums did to Denver years ago. It totally changed the neighborhood. I'd be focused right there.
Yeah. Most of them are all within a few miles of
that. Whether you're wholesaling them or buying them or whatever you want to do. Yeah, you get a stadium like that and, you know, restaurants want to come in and nightlife before and after the game and all that stuff is going to follow. I mean, they built the Rocky – well, you're from here. They built Rocky Stadium south side of Five Points there, and now it's, you know, swanky $700 to $1.2 million condos.
Yep. With, you know, completely different.
15 restaurants in walking distance. So, yeah, completely changed it. And, you know, the NFL, of all the sports to come in, you know, they're still a bigger draw than baseball, and that's what the baseball stadium did. So, yeah, that's a great little anchor for that neighborhood. Cool. Good stuff. Any other questions, Mike?
Nope, that's it. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah. Who else? Who else?
Yeah, Mike, it's Clark.
Hey, Clark.
Hey, I got to add in some bird dogs. I'm trying to get a couple bird dogs going.
Yep.
And you, one of the videos, you got into Zillow and you identified the neighborhoods by zip code. I can't find how to do that. I'm trying to find out how to direct them where to go in a strange
city. Go to the U.S. Postal Service site. I think that one's sometimes even easier and better.
Okay.
So you can just go to, if you type in a zip code, the Postal Service website most of the time will come up. And if you click on it, that it'll show you a map and all the that zip code will be highlighted or turned a different color with all the boundaries. Is that what you mean by looking up a zip code?
Yeah. Something you showed on one of the videos though was like it was black and showed red outlines around the zip codes and it was a Zillow.
Yep.
There are
a few different sites to do it. Yeah.
I've been looking for a good one. I'll just have to keep on looking, I guess.
The Postal Service ones is easily as good. It's solid.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Yep. Thanks. I just sent a guy a couple links off that one a week and a half ago, so it's good. And like
I said,
if you just search for one of your zip codes, the Postal Service site probably shows up. So.
Okay, thanks.
Yep. Who else? Questions and updates?
I got a question about getting the VA on board.
Yep.
It seems looking at Rob's video in level 3 there, there's a lot of information that they need to have to be able to plug into FreedomSoft. And I hardly barely understand it myself. Certainly not enough to instruct someone how to do it all. Is there a way to get them to understand it? And just go directly there. I know that's eventually the aim.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah. We should be able to figure that out. I'm trying to think what videos we have that are just posted like on Vimeo or YouTube or something like that. Really, your skip tracing VA, they need to be able to, if the address is not up top in FreedomSoft, they need to grab it from the notes section. They just copy and paste it. Click the Find the Owner button, and then do the skip trace and save the numbers. That's really what they're in it for, and that's pretty basic. So I'm trying to think. Send me an email into the coaching center about that one. SuccessTeam@RealAmericanWealth.com. Send it there, and I feel like we have a video parked somewhere, and if not, I can take a video and park it on Vimeo or YouTube and send you a link. So
sounds good. Okay, that sounds great.
Yeah, shoot me a reminder if you don't mind. That'd be great. Excuse me. Who else? We get everybody covered? All right. I'm going to assume we did. So, yeah, good questions, everybody. Stay with it. I know a couple of you are at that point where, you know, there's a little bit of frustration. We, you know, we talk about this on every orientation call. You're going to bump into something. It's just the way it works. You know, Hal's fighting through a title issue. We've got some folks that are saying, hey, I can't get a bird dog to go. I can't get a salesperson. Right? Nobody's immune to this. It happens. So people do what people do. It's part of it. What we're saying is it's worth it because when you get, and it's not a big team, but when you get a small team in place that's clicking, you can get this thing moving. You get your business moving very quickly. So stay on it. Stick with the process. It works. Be relentless. Excuse me. You know, the key word is always until. That's the magic word with a lot of things. I don't have a bird dog yet. Great. Keep posting that ad and talking to people until you have the right one or two on the team. I haven't found the right salesperson yet. Great. Keep your ads posted. Keep talking to people until you get that right person on the team. Because when it does, I'm telling you, whatever headache you feel like you're going through now, you're going to look back and say, you know, it was worth it. And now I know how to do it. So when life happens again and a team member has to move on or whatever the case, you just go right in and you know, don't even miss a beat. Start having more conversations, bring somebody else on board. So stay with it because it pays off. It absolutely does. You can't generate better leads than the ones you're going after. So stick with the process. You know, make it a really productive day, a couple days here. Chat again on Thursday. Obviously, anything prior to that, get it into the coaching email so that we have as little time as possible between your questions and answers and solutions, all right? Everybody have a good night or afternoon wherever you're at, and we'll chat soon. Okay.
Good. Thanks, Mike.
Yep. Take care, everyone.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep. See ya.
Bye.